Welcome to the Lost Geek Podcast, episode 34. Where's my knitting mojo? This is Arlen, your host. Come and get lost in my geeky fiber adventures with a dash of Indonesian flavor. Today is Thursday, May 22nd, 2014, and I'm podcasting from my home in Jakarta, Indonesia. Today's segments will include On the Needles, Let's Get Lost, and Tadaima. It will be a shorter episode this time because, as the title say, where's my knitting mojo? And it also includes, where's my podcasting mojo? So I haven't quite got enough materials to podcast with, but I have missed doing podcasting and I have missed interacting with you. So here is an episode. Without further ado, let's get lost. On the Needles. I have cast on for a new project in the past 2 weeks that I didn't podcast, and it's the Fringe Tree Shawl, a pattern by Anne Hansen of KnitSpot. I used a different yarn than prescribed. It's part of the Bare Naked KnitSpot Club last year, and the yarn that comes with the package is the Bare Naked Wools Stone Soup Fingering, but I only have one skein and it's only enough to make the small size. I wanted it to be at least a medium size shawl, so I substituted a yarn for it. The yarn I use is Bare Naked Wools Gilly Sock with 700 yards to it, so I can make the medium size with plenty of yarn to spare. So for the medium size, I have to cast on 367 stitches. And as you know, it would be a nightmare if you use a long tail cast on to estimate the length for 367 stitches. So I use both ends of the yarn cake to cast on. Basically, you just tie the end that comes from inside the ball and the end that comes from outside of the ball, the outer and the inner end, you tie them together, make a loop. What do you call it again? What to make a loop together, and just do it as usual. There will be three ends to weave in compared to one end using the normal long tail cast on, but that's okay because I don't need to spend time worrying about whether or not I have enough tail for the cast on. One tip that I find out after doing this two ends cast on is that you need to use the end of the yarn that you're not going to use. So does it make sense? So if you're going to use the inner yarn as a center pull cake, then that's the yarn that you're going to use. But if you're going to use the yarn that comes from the outer side of the ball, then that's the yarn that you're going to use. Whatever that you're not using, use it as the yarn that goes over your thumb. In my case, because I'm going to use the yarn, the outer yarn in the project, I use the inner yarn from the center pull cake as the thumb yarn, because the yarn that loops over the thumb twists together because of the movements involved in long tail cast on, so it becomes curly and twisting and impossible to separate. So if you are going to use that curly yarn later, it's quite impossible. The second project, it's quite like an eternal project for this podcast, is the Knit Your Love Shawl by Martina Bem, the first shipment of the Strick Mich Club. And I still haven't gotten to the end of it. The yarn just goes on forever. But I really don't think that I can knit 22 hearts as prescribed by the pattern. I might end up with only just 20. And something that I notice about the yarn, it pills quite a lot. I can notice the difference between the old yarn, which is in the beginning of the project, and the newer knit yarn, which is closer to the part of the needles that I'm using. The older section is definitely fuzzier, and you can see that it pilled already, even though I didn't really take it quite as often as I wanted to, but the friction in the project bag must have made it pill. And speaking about pilling, I want to talk a bit about pill remover. I want to know what kind of pill remover that you use, if you use one. And if you don't use one, what do you do with the pills in your thing, or you haven't actually encountered peeling before. I tried an electric one, and I also have a sweater stone that I misplaced somewhere. So right now I just have my electric peel remover, and it's a cheap China-made peel remover that I bought from a knitting buddy in Indonesia. It's battery-operated. The shape is like a square shaver, and you need two AA batteries to operate it. And you just swipe it over the surface of the knitting that you want to remove the peel from, and magically the peel is removed. So there's a container on the bottom of the shaver to contain the peel ball, as I call it, because it's a fuzzy, it creates like a fuzz ball that you just need to throw away. And it's quite effective. I tried it on a pair of my mittens, because I thought, since I wanted to try it, why not try it on a smaller scale? So I tried it on a pair of mitts and a pair of socks, and it worked quite good. The mittens have cable patterning on it, so it doesn't work as well on the cables because there are bumps and valleys. It works better on flat surface. I would really like to try my hand on a lily brush, which came to my radar via the Twinset Designs podcast. They reviewed it a few months back, I think, and they said that it works really great. So I would like to try that, but for my current usage, the electric peel remover is great. I think it cost me $3 for the electric peel remover. And I'd like to know what you use and your experience with peel removers or with peels. Actually, I tried a very inexpensive peel removing method before I have this electric one. I use my scissors. I hear a collective gasp. Yeah, I cut the peels. Of course, I cut it very carefully and only the very visible peels. So if it's just a fuzz, then it wouldn't work because you would have to cut the fuzz very close to the fabric, and it kind of scares me. But cutting works great if the peel is very visible and really big. So let me know in the forum what you use for removing peels from your knit fabrics. Let's get lost. So last weekend, we went to Bandung, to my parents' house, as usual. We go there every 2 or 3 weeks to visit my parents and to visit my grandparents there. So this time we had a special itinerary, and we went to my uncle's plot of land in Lembang area, which is in northern Bandung. Bandung is located in a mountain region in western Java, so the climate is quite cool there, although in southern Bandung, which is in the flatlands, it's hotter, but Lembang is really up north in the mountain, so it's very cool. Generally, temperature in the morning would range from 18 to 20 degrees centigrade, and at noon, at the hottest, it will be 25 or 26, so it's great climate. And my uncle happened to buy a plot of land there really cheaply, and it's an untouched land with streams, natural spring, and waterfall, and it's not a small waterfall, it's really big. I think it's at least 40 meters tall. No, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I think it's at least 40 meters tall. He built a few wooden huts. We call it gazebos. I think 4 along the road, so we can take a rest there because it's a bit of a hike. So we went there with Timothy and my parents and my uncle. We hiked a bit, and we had to pass a stream by walking on top of a makeshift bridge made by 3 bamboo stems. Usually the hike is pretty basic, but this time, because the area got flooded a month back and some parts got a landslide, so some parts are not walkable, but we had to go around a little bit. And along the area, there are watercress plantation. I think it's called watercress. In Bahasa Indonesia, it's called selada air. The previous caretaker of the land, my uncle told me, rented out the plots of land to locals, and now he ran away with the money. So he rented it out illegally and just ran away. And that's a problem that we commonly find here in Indonesia. So my uncle had hired a new caretaker, and he is trying to resolve the problem with the illegal renters, but I think he's just going to have to wait until their term is up, although nobody knows when their term ends because the previous caretaker ran away. Anyway, we passed by a few people who took the watercress crop using bamboo handles on their backs, and we also passed by a group of teenagers with a guardian. I think they're from a school or something. And I was wondering, because it's a private plot of land, I was wondering how they got there. So my uncle asked how they got in, and they said that some of the locals asked to be paid and just let them in. Since the land is pretty much open with just a gate in front, but it's a huge plot of land, so anybody can enter from anywhere, it became sort of a local weekend destination for people to just come and hang out, especially because my uncle already built some wooden huts there for people to have a picnic on and just look at the scenery. But yeah, that's life here. So what can we do? We enjoyed the scenery a lot and the waterfall, although it's too bad that Timothy cannot come with me to the waterfall area, because passing through the bamboo bridge, it's not quite stable, and the river is pretty, the current is quite strong at this time of year. And the water, the debit amount of the water is quite high. Afterwards, we had our lunch in a famous local Chinese restaurant there. We normally called it Amoy Chong, based on the name of the original owner of the restaurant. I actually forgot what the actual name of the restaurant is, but their famous dish of the restaurant is their pork satay, mun tahu, which is a tofu dish combined with prawn and pork usually, and stir-fried kangkung, which is, I tried to find the English word for it, and it has several translation, which is water spinach or water morning glory. And I actually never saw it in an American grocery store, so I'm not sure what it's called. But it's a very crunchy type of vegetables, of green leafy vegetable. And a good lunch after a short hike is really the best. We also bought home several of the local Lembang delicacy, which is colenak and grilled corn with several different sauces. So they have a few different types of sauce for the grilled corn. They have spicy, they have cheese, they have butter, and just plain. And colenak is made from tape, which is fermented cassava. It's a local delicacy in West Java area. So the tape is grilled, and then you eat it with a melted brown sugar mix. Not brown sugar, but palm sugar, that's it. With melted palm sugar and coconut shavings. It's really yummy. I think you can find the tape or fermented cassava in certain Asian grocery stores in California, as I know it. But I don't think anywhere else in the US. Maybe in New York. But it's quite a hard-to-find delicacy. So if you ever find yourself in the area, in Bandung area, make sure that you go to Lembang and try out the colenak and grilled corn there. It's really yummy. Tadaima! So just a few housekeeping notes. First of all, I'm sorry for the late episode this week. As per the episode title, I have lost my knitting mojo ever since I was sick with the hand, foot, and mouth disease. I did get a few suggestions from my friends on Ravelry on how to get it back, and one of the methods that was suggested includes casting on for new projects. So I did try that using the fringe tree shawl, but it didn't quite work because it's a very involved project involving lace chart that you really have to read row by row. because it's not repeatable, and that just doesn't cut it. So the past 2 weeks I have been in a funk. So I tried another method, and I try casting on for several little projects, and I am committed to start doing that tomorrow. I wound the yarn today for the swatches that I need to knit for my Master Knitter Level 1. And the yarn that I decided to use, as I mentioned before, is Cascade 220 that I bought from Webs or yarn.com. They had a big sale celebrating their 40th anniversary, so I took advantage of that. And although the shipping to Indonesia is quite expensive, it's $13, I believe, but the price reduction quite made up for it. So I want that yarn, and I also have a few projects in mind that I have in the pipeline. I need to knit something for Timothy's preschool teachers, because he's going up to nursery 2 in August and will not be seeing his current teachers again. So I want to knit them something. And one of the teachers, which is one of the most senior in the school, is resigning. So that's a real pity, and I want to give her something also for her baby. She just had, she has an 8-month-old baby. So I'm thinking maybe I will knit them a matching headband, or a headband and a hat. Aside from that, the library along, or the LAL on the group, is still going on. And the new CAL, which is the challenge CAL, is starting in June. And our guest host for June is Kim from Craft Stash. And I already have a confirmed host for July. There will be two hosts, but not separate. And they are Ellen and Jen from the Twinset Designs podcast. I am so excited to welcome them on board. Tentatively, it will happen hopefully during their summer camp. So I told them that I am really excited if it really does happen during the camp, because I would feel like I am taking part of the camp, even though it's going on in such a different part of the world. But I am excited. And I have other podcasters who have signed up, but we are still working out the details and the timeline. So I will let you know about that. And a few questions on the board that popped up regarding the challenge CAL. It would have to be a technique that you haven't tried before that is new to you. So if you are challenging yourself by finishing all your whips, that wouldn't count, because that doesn't involve a technique. But if one of the whip include a technique that you never tried before, or you wanted to try a different method for it, then you're welcome to enter that to the challenge call. So it's a knit along that is open for everyone for any time. And basically it's just challenging yourself. We don't have a set pattern for it. You are welcome to use any type of yarn, any type of needles, and any kind of projects for this. So I really hope you'll get on board and take this learning experience to get to know other people, to get to know more about techniques, and to challenge yourself. Speaking about challenge, around the house, Timothy has been not a challenge. He has been such a sweet boy, and he is really eager to help out around the house, from sweeping the lawn to taking care of his own toys. He's really good with that now. And I am so proud of him, and yet a part of me is feeling bittersweet because he's growing up so fast. I mean, being a mother is such a conflicting feeling, because you want them to outgrow those quirks and those childhood bothers, you can say that. Like when they were a baby, you wish that they would stop crying so much, or they would stop nursing so many times during the day. But then those times also come with the cuddles and the smiles and the half smiles and the chubby cheeks, and those things wouldn't be there forever. So I'm really savoring every day, and I just feel so blessed to have a family that includes a husband and a son like him. I forgot to mention this in the previous podcast, or wait, I didn't podcast. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. if I haven't said this in my previous podcast, and I'm sorry if this episode is lacking in preparation or in show notes or in anything. I hope that I will be back to my own, I will be back to my regular scheduling and regular episode in the next 2 weeks. So that would be it for today. Sorry for the shorter episode. You can send any comments, feedback, and suggestions to me, arlin@thelostgeek.com. Show notes can be found on the blog at thelostgeek.com. And you can also join the Revelry group, find the Lost Geek podcast group there. You can also follow me on Twitter as lost_geek and on Instagram as thelostgeek. To subscribe to the podcast, you can subscribe on iTunes or enter the RSS feed to your favorite aggregator or podcatcher from thelostgeek.libsyn.com/RSS. So that's it for today. Until next time, don't get too lost. Bye. Morning light upon my pillowcase. Well, hello, here comes a day. Should I rise up from these sheets of lace? Let the sun upon my face. Far too long I slept in solitude, with these walls as cold as ice. If I awake, will it be worth it all to feel the sun? My face, I'm coming home to where you are, to the arms that held me long. I'm coming home, I've run too long. Unlock the door, turn the key, I've been waiting to see. To me, come back to me.
Sun upon my face, I'm coming.